welcome to That Makes Total Sense, the podcast where we talk about faith, finance, and everyday life in a way that makes total sense. I'm your host, Alexis Busetti. On this podcast, you'll hear the personal stories of friends I'll be interviewing who are doing familiar things in new and innovative ways. We'll answer questions specifically about money and our relationship with it, and we'll explore faith and Bible teaching together. In all of these, it's not about changing our convictions as much as it is about messing with our methods. We'll have a lot of moments here together where we pause, then say, that makes total sense. Hi, I'm Alexis Busetti, and this is That Makes Total Sense. I am totally excited today to bring you a conversation I had with personal finance coach Michael Lacey. Michael has his company Winning to Wealth and also a podcast called The Wealthy Neighbors Show. And Michael and I have known each other through the personal finance coaching world for a while. And I actually reference this in the show that we knew each other before each of us rebranded. And so we'll chat about that in a bit. I have honestly wanted to have Michael on to come and talk about things in the past, but we just hadn't gotten around to it until right now. And so Michael is going to tell his story, really his ongoing story of being laid off during this coronavirus. He starts off by telling how he and his incredible wife got started in their own personal finance journey, how they paid off a ton of debt, how they're building wealth, and then now how this virus has affected them. And so you do not want to miss this conversation I had with Michael Lacey. Hey, everybody. This is That Makes Total Sense, and I am Alexis Busetti. I am so happy today to have Michael Lacey with me on the show. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Alexis. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So Michael has a financial coaching business, and we have known of each other. I'm going to say it's maybe been like three-ish years now or something like that. To give you some context for the length of time and the evolution, we knew each other before each of us rebranded.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you used to be Black Sheep Finance.
Correct.
And now you have Winning to Wealth.
Correct.
Right? Correct. Right. Okay. Yes. Yes. Because short term, Seth and I both followed you, and we would say, because Black Sheep Finance used to post a lot of hilarious memes. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be cracking up, like, you know, 9 o'clock, we're like watching some Netflix show or something, and I'm like busting out laughing on my phone. He's like, what? I'm like, no, Black Sheep Finance. Like, he just threw it down. So that was fun, but now you're Winning to Wealth. So can you tell us a little bit about your family and a little bit about your business?
Yeah, so I'm married, obviously, you know, wife, Taylor, and I have a 2-year-old daughter named Allison. And Allison was actually, believe it or not, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but she was the inspiration for the rebranding of the business. Yeah, so I was Black Sheep Finance, and we converted to Winning to Wealth, and I came up with that name and that idea while Taylor was in labor. And the premise was, yeah, we're in the hospital, Taylor's in labor, I'm thinking business, right?
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I love
it. So, you know, and the thought behind it was I wanted a place where it was documenting our family's journey to wealth, right? To goals. And I didn't want the name or the rebrand to be like, you know, we've arrived, but I wanted to signify the journey. And so that's where the Winning to came from as well. And then now we've gone on, we've got a blog and we've got a podcast, and I'm doing financial education stuff and courses and all these great things. But it all just started from just me being authentic about our family's journey, the wins, the losses, the struggles, the triumphs, and all of that as it relates to our finances.
I love it. I love it so much. And I'm feeling like, okay, when you said Allison was 2, I'm thinking back. So this is like personal. I'm like, I really feel like we planned a double date and then Taylor went into labor. Is that true?
We did.
Am I remembering that correctly?
No, you are. You are remembering that. Absolutely.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a sitter, man. We're getting a sitter. Let's go out.
So let me tell you. So this is kind of what happened. So you were like, I remember you were like, Okay, I was in Austin for a work trip and Taylor had a doctor's appointment and she wasn't anywhere near labor. I come home and like Monday morning, she's in labor and we were supposed to go somewhere like Tuesday or Wednesday or something like
that. Sure, yeah.
Right. And the one thing I remember from like our conversations was you texting me and being like, this is the perfect time to go out right now because your baby's just going to sleep all the time.
Yes.
That was the best advice ever. Because now that she's two, it's like, and I mean, granted, we've got Corona right now, but I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere.
No, because it's terrible. It's the worst, right? I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, two is a different animal.
Yes, yes.
So we'll have to wait for Corona and when you guys get a sitter, because yes, we should have snagged you right when, like I said, when she was just sleeping the whole time.
Yep.
Because that really is it. You can do whatever you want because they're so portable. Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And now it's like, help me. I can't.
Please send help. Please send help.
Please send help. Yes. Please send help because two is not a joke.
Yeah.
It is just not a joke. So I'm glad it's you, not me. Did I say that out loud? But my baby's six. So I'm just going to, I mean, my baby's six. It's just a different world. He can buckle himself in his own car seat and I'm like, done. And
I yearn for the days.
I know, right?
But it's such this weird space of like, I'm so ready for you to be bigger, but at the same time, I want to love you so much right now.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh, it is. It is. It's totally that. It's totally that. But I'm telling you, seat belts and wiping their own bottoms. When that happens, you'll feel a little free. It's just almost like you get a little piece of that life back. But anyway, so I'm thrilled. I see pictures of her all the time. She's amazingly cute. It's just ridiculous. You guys are doing a great job. You guys are doing a great job. And so you do share your parts of your financial journey, which make you guys so relatable because you're willing to share. And that's one of the things I love because I don't think everybody's called to share everything. And I don't think everybody's kind of supposed to share everything, but I'm so thankful for the people like you who will make yourself vulnerable to that point where we can look and number one, it gives us hope because we think, oh my goodness, if they're doing this, then we can do this because you're just like us. Right. And it also, we can celebrate with you. We can celebrate your wins. We can grieve your losses. You know, I don't know if you feel that, but I kind of feel that in some of your Instagram posts, like you've got this community who's like rooting you on and kind of down with you when you're down.
Absolutely. Yeah. It 100% feels like that. You know, anytime I share like, oh, we've been featured in CNBC, everybody like rushes to my private messages and they're like, that is so awesome and so incredible. And then when I was just laid off, it was like, I mean, it was just a flood of people that were just like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And like, let me know if you need anything. And it's like, these are real life, like, yes, it's virtual, but like, these are like real life connections that we've made just through being vulnerable and sharing our story. And I love it. It's awesome.
I love it too. So you mentioned like the huge thing, which is really one of the reasons I invited you on because you had shared about your layoff on social media, which is in step with everything you've been doing that I've seen in the last 3 years. It's completely in step. And so I appreciate that. But I thought, I wonder if he'll come and talk about it on the podcast. So I want to get there. But before we get there, you didn't just wake up and you're like, hey, I want to be a personal finance coach. Like you guys have a story. You and Taylor have a story from your personal background, the work that you've done as a couple to get to where you were featured in CNBC or in Forbes or some of these great things that you've done and the stories that you've shared. So can you take us back? The people who follow Dave Ramsey might say, can you take us back to like your debt-free story? Can you take us back there and kind of give us a bit of that family history so that we can walk through that winning to wealth and the layoff and then kind of what that looks like for you guys now?
Sure. So Taylor and I have been dating since we were like 20, right?
Wow.
And so our 20s, we got really good jobs really young. So we made good money and we spent good money. Like we had fun, right? We both had brand new cars. We went on trips all the time and it just looked incredible. But we had no money. We had literally nothing to show for it. And I think we had maybe like $4,000, maybe $5,000 saved or something like that.
Wow.
And so we go, we get married, we get engaged, get married, do that whole thing. We go on our honeymoon. And it was then that something flipped in me like, okay, now you're a husband. Mm-hmm. And now you're responsible for this woman and you're entrusted with taking care of her. Like, you have to be a good steward. And so it was then that I was like, wait a minute. Okay, we can't do everything that I thought we were going to do on this honeymoon. Because we went down to the Florida Keys, we had an oceanfront resort and just all these fantastic plans. But I was like, you know what, when we get home, we've got two brand new cars waiting on us. We had just gotten a bigger house that we didn't need. And that came with increased expenses. We had financed furniture and just done all these things prior to getting married. And it was like the first time where I felt like, maybe some of this was a mistake. Like, maybe we're not going in as well of a direction as I thought. Granted, we were making good money. We were making six figures as a couple. Everything looked great. We were having the time of our lives, but like something in me just wasn't sitting well. And so we're on the honeymoon. We go on this, we had part of the reason why we went to the Florida Keys was to go on our snorkeling. We wanted to go snorkeling. And so we get there and get on the boat, get halfway out in the water. And the guy's like, hey, we've got to turn back. There's this big rainstorm coming. So we turn around, go back, and he's like, look, I can either give you guys a refund or you can just come another day. And Taylor's thinking, we're here for like three or four more days. Why don't we come another day? I'm thinking, let's get the money and run.
Right.
Let's
go back.
And that was like, oh my, it was the beginning of a really, I mean, our first money fight, which was on our honeymoon.
Wow. Yeah.
And so we had a come to Jesus moment on our honeymoon. And that was where we sat down and really realized that we were $61,000 in debt. And wow. It was like, okay.
Yeah, besides your house.
Right. And we didn't have, this is the crazy part. Neither one of us had student loans and we didn't own our house. We were renting. So this is all just gotcha. Crazy consumer debt. This is cars, credit right. cards, like the worst stuff, you know, like this is not anything that's like adding to our net worth or income or anything like that. And so that was the first time I was like, you know what? We are going in the wrong direction. Like something's got to change. I don't know what that is. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm done with this. And so we had that conversation and Taylor's like, all right, come home. I throw the budget out. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. Taylor's like, nope, we're not doing it that way. And so we come together, figure it out though. And ultimately end up paying off the $61,000 in 16 months.
What? Say it again.
$61,000 worth of debt, two cars and like eight credit cards in 16 months.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And see, so because
that was the beginning of our journey.
But I'm gonna stop you because I'm like your honeymoon. I'm like, I don't know if you knew this. Fighting about money on your honeymoon is not romantic. So just in case you wanted to know.
It's not at all.
This is not romantic. It's fine. Our first fight as a couple was on our honeymoon too. As a married couple was on our honeymoon, and I don't even remember what it was about. So if that tells you anything, but I love that picture that you just gave of like I'm thinking take the money and run, and she's thinking we're here to play, and you guys your ideals kind of clashed in that moment, and then you had to figure it out, but. The amazing thing is you figured it out and you did not play when you got home.
Right. I didn't. You're right. I didn't.
Oh, where's Taylor? She needs to come in that room right now. You did not play. All right. Unpack it. Go.
So, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, again, a lot of it was ego for me. Like, I felt like I was the man of the relationship and like, I have this responsibility and like, I'm not living up to it. And so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to fix this, right? And she was like, I'm on board with fixing it, but the way you're doing it, like, and what I like to say is like, so when I kind of woke up to the reality of we're in $61,000 worth of debt, I started drifting towards this life that I wanted to have in the future. When what she was doing, she was holding on to really everything that we had built. I mean, we had built our relationship on traveling. We built our relationship on going out to dinners. And here I am saying, we're not going to do that stuff anymore. That's a big deal. You know, I mean, we've built a lot of our relationship. Some of our best memories are doing these things that I'm saying we're not going to do anymore. And so, and I didn't understand that. I just thought, well, you're saying you want this lifestyle. So where's the disconnect? And it wasn't until I was able to find that disconnect and say, okay, what do we need to do? How do we go from A to B? And then she started to see things from a different perspective and she was willing to jump on board. But it wasn't until I was willing to meet her where she was and walk with her that we were able to start making progress.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really good because...
So see, that's why I say I did the work because I had to work on myself. It wasn't a shot at her.
Right, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Taylor, are you listening to that? No, it's good. No, it's really good because, I mean, I had a similar experience after... So my husband and I got married. I still had 3 semesters of undergraduate left when we got married. But a similar... And I already had... I mean, I'm sorry. It wasn't consumer debt, but I got you beat. I had like $68,000 in student loans when we got married. And, okay, I don't even know if I've ever said this out. And a C average. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there, okay? And so this was, it was stupid, right? Like, I hope my kids don't hear this one. Like, it was totally stupid. And so when we got married, I had 3 semesters left of undergraduate and I felt like I had the same come to Jesus moment with myself of I'm married. I cannot play. This education in quotes, kind of this thing that I say I'm getting this education, this money that we're spending toward it, because we were like, nuh-uh, we're not doing these loans anymore. We got to figure this out. Like I was like, this is not just me. If I want to mess around and mess up my own future, whatever, learn your lessons the hard way, kick yourself in the butt eventually, whatever. But when I'm married and my husband, who didn't have anything to do with this, steps into $68,000 worth of student loans, I cannot mess around. So my last 3 semesters of school, I think I got 1 B. I got straight A's. We paid those bills. We did this stuff because it was like, it was the same come to Jesus moment you have is like, I'm married. This is about my family now. I have a responsibility to him to, well, I'm going to say it for me. I was to grow up, right. To do this thing the right way because it's a stewardship issue. Exactly like you're saying, I've got to steward my time well, I've got to steward my studies well, I've got to steward our money well. And we had none of it. I mean, we had no money, but what little we had to figure out how to use it. So I get that. I get that. I'm joking with you, but I get that because it is, you've got to work on yourself and then you've got to figure out the way to walk through it all together.
Right.
So that you're on the same page and you can do that. So that's a big deal because you're right. All your memories, all your, you know, all of this good stuff was kind of around spending it and not caring about it.
Right.
And now you're saying, I want to have some money to spend later too.
Right.
So we got to figure this out. So after you guys spent or paid off $61,000 in 16 months, then what?
So, you know, it was difficult. And I got to go back a little bit into the journey because about halfway into that journey, I lost my job at that point.
Wow.
Eight months into that 16 months. And so there,
wow.
A like 3 month span where I was unemployed and like Taylor was supporting us. And so it was really beautiful because here she was the one early on that was resisting and then she's on board and now, you know, I lose my job. So she's kind of carrying us through this and, you know, me being me, I'm kind of, there are days where I'm kind of down about the job search and the job hunt. And she's like, no, we got this. We're going to do this and we're going to move forward. And then there's days where she's like, oh man, I don't know if I can keep going. And I'm like, no, we're going to do this. We're going to keep going. And so it was really through that, like our marriage just has blossomed as a result of the challenges of the journey. But the one thing that happened as a result of losing my job was I realized like how volatile my industry was. I'm in sales and I realized just how volatile that was. And so after that, it was really important for us to save for an emergency fund. And so I know a lot of people say 3 to 6 months, but based on what I went through at that time, it was like, I really felt like I could have been unemployed for 5, 6 months. Like that's really kind of been the standard to get to where I was in my career at that point. And so I was like, you know what? I don't even want to do six. Let's just have 9 months across the board. And that way, any job loss, anything that happens, we're good. I can take my time, find the right fit, find the right salary, like all those things without having to settle. And so that was the next step for us, was really getting that emergency fund in place. And man, I'm so glad we did, because we've had, like, you know, life happens to all of us, right? Like there's ups and downs, things happen, cars break, and you know, hurricanes happen and you lose a car and you got to buy a new one. And like all these other things that we've used that emergency fund for that otherwise we would have had to go into debt for.
Right. Right. No, that's a huge thing, because I think a lot of people that probably you and I both talk to, there's, kind of a ceiling, like debt payoff is kind of the ceiling. And it's like, man, once I do this, I'll be able to breathe again. Or once I do this, and then there's kind of this moment where you kind of look around wide eyed and go, oh my, because that journey is arduous. I mean, not everyone does it in 16 months. It's probably more like 2 to 3 years for a lot of people. And sometimes even longer than that. And when you've been digging for that long, that hard, and then you pop up, I mean, I have to be truthful with you. A lot of the people that call me for coaching, I say they have this debt recidivism rate that is really high. Like they'll tell me, we've done this. We've done this before. Like we know how to do it. We know how to get out of debt. It's what comes after that, that we have the hard time with. So like they'll call me $25,000 in debt. And I say, well, look, we're here because this is like the third time we've done this. And we don't want to do this anymore, right? But there's something that's like some weird yo-yo. I don't know. Have you, maybe not in your personal life, but have you seen that in some of your coaching life?
Absolutely. I've seen it in coaching. I've interviewed people on the podcast that have had it happen. It's a very common thing where, like you said, we kind of take on debt freedom or the journey, because it can be so long and it can be so rough. Like I've seen a lot of people kind of take that on as like their identity in a way.
Right. Right. Yes.
And so when that's over, you're like, okay, what do I do now?
Right.
And you're just kind of stuck in limbo. And so you revert back to a lot of those old habits instead of being diligent and putting that, the same money that you used to pay off debt, using it to build your net worth and build wealth and all those things. It just kind of sits there and you don't have really a plan for it. And
right.
So yeah, it's very common to see people go right back into debt.
Right. Because you were eating when you were paying off debt.
Right.
And so you can still eat and use that money and put it, like you said, toward an emergency fund, toward something that will actually build your net worth, toward generosity, you know, toward any of those things. But it just kind of floats sometimes, that money. And so you guys built a substantial emergency fund. I feel like that's Susie Orman's number is more like 6 to 9 months instead of 3 to 6 months. I feel like she's more in the 9 month range, which I think is really healthy. I love that. I've spoke with a friend recently who their number is a year, because her husband is a business owner, and it's like when it's dry is dry, you know, and, yeah. You got to have something. And so, you know, a lot of that depends on, do you have two incomes? Do you have one income? Are you single? Are you a business owner? Do you have a side hustle? You know, all of that kind of depends, you know, is your industry volatile? All of that kind of stuff.
Your health. Do you have kids?
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's another, so, you know, now I've touched on it, you know, I'm not working right now and my wife has an autoimmune disease. And so like we relied on my job for healthcare for her. Right. And so now we don't have that. So the first thing I wanted to do was bump my emergency fund up. So we're above a year now because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, so right. Everything that we can save right now, we're just saving it in our emergency fund to just kind of combat what's going on and just buy ourselves some time on the back end. So, yeah, you have to look at just really the totality of your life situation and figure out what would make you most comfortable if you lost an income stream, if something catastrophic were to happen, like what amount would make you comfortable to where you could sleep peacefully at night?
Right. Right. No, that's so good. So let's go there. You're not working right now.
Yeah.
And you're not working right now because I feel like, I mean, we're recording this in June. It's probably going to come out in July, and around our house, we call it the COVID.
We call it Rona.
Rona. Yes. I have friends who call it Rona. Yes. In fact, I have a business owner friend who makes and ships apparel, and she has on her website, due to Rona, we will ship like every Tuesday. You know, I love it. But okay. So is that a fair assessment? Is that your job was one of the casualties of Rona?
Oh, 100%. So, you know, this year, well, last year, let me go back. We had the best revenue year ever. Wow. Expanded our sales force by like 30% or something like that. Yeah. And every single month, January, February, March, I was at almost 40% over budget for my sales. So, I mean, we were crushing it. I mean, I was managing almost $20 million a year. I'm like one position away from VP of sales. Like, I mean, this is like the perfect position that you could ever be in as a sales rep. And yeah, so, you know, first Monday in April, I get a text. It's like, hey, hop on a conference call in like 2 hours. I'm like, all right, get on the conference call. I have no clue what's going on. I've been working all morning. It's 8 to 10, you know, the conference call's at 10. I've been working 8 to 10. No clue what's going on. Get on the call. Right in the middle of like solving customer crisis and putting out fires because shipments are late because, you know, the ports are closed and all these other things. I'm doing all this work. And first thing they say is, hey, if you're on this call, you're being furloughed until June 6th. So
wow,
your phone, and they basically told us your phones are already in the process of being routed to your managers. Your email has been shut off. You have no contact. Yep.
So, and you're like, there's somebody expecting an email from me in an hour.
Right. I've told people like I'm actively checking into this stuff. So yeah, so that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But anyway, we're not here for
a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to go into front of you and say, yeah, a little bit.
You know, when you care about your customers, when you care about right. the job, you know, it does. It rubs you the wrong way. But they also laid off. Like, we had built this new facility in Indiana. They permanently closed that facility and laid everybody off at that facility. And it's like, I, again, because we've been on this journey since 2014, 6 years, we've done some incredible things with our money. I couldn't understand how this company, who I personally managed $20 million for, can't weather this storm for more than 3 weeks. Like, this is right. 3 weeks in the Rona, you know
Come
what
on.
I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, okay, what is happening? But, and then, so fast forward a month, I'm furloughed, I'm home. I'm excited because we're in such a great financial position. So like now I get to podcast more. I get to do more of the things that I really enjoy and love. And so I'm excited. And then we get a month in on May 15th, actually that Monday before that, I got a call and it's like, hey, cross your fingers. My manager calls me and he's like, hey, cross your fingers. We got a conference call on Friday. You guys may be coming back soon. And get on the conference call and they're like, everybody on this call, including my manager, you're being laid off. So he's thinking he's bringing
Shut
all of us back
up.
And he gets laid off too. Yep.
Shut up.
Yeah. So yeah, that was May 15th.
Michael.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're laughing because I'm almost crying.
Here's why I get to laugh about it, right? Because
please tell me.
Because what a lot of people don't know, again, we've done the work to put ourselves in a fantastic financial position. Just our emergency fund is 15 months. Outside right. of our emergency fund, if we get into selling off investments and all that, I've got another few years
right.
that we've
right.
built up. So we were already kind of in the process of me talking about potentially walking away from my job next year. Mm-hmm. So that I could focus on my business and other things full time.
Mm-hmm.
So this just kind of accelerated the process. And once I got right. that perspective and that understanding, it was like, okay, because I had heard God telling me like, it might be time. And I was like, but God, you put me in this position.
Uh-huh.
And like, I'm crushing it right now. Like I'm making six figures and I'm doing great things and I'm giving so much and I'm, you know, I'm doing it. All of this is for you. Like you put me in this position. It's not time yet. And he's like, but it's time. And I kept resisting it. And so it was like, once that final decision had been made, it was like, okay. I'm in silence. I'm all by myself. And I hear God saying, told you.
Wow. You know, don't like, you love him? I'm like, I love it. I told you. You're like, I know you did.
I know you did. This wasn't supposed to happen like this.
then that's where you hang up, because he's like, well, maybe it wouldn't have happened like click.
If you had listened, yeah.
Click, and we're done right now.
Yeah. Call you later tonight before.
Right, dinner. Exactly. I gotta go. I hear my other phone's ringing. Yeah, that one back there. That is crazy. That is crazy. But I wanna come back to your story, because I think it's so impactful and so powerful. And I love that you can laugh about it. But I wanna go back. I'm gonna put you on the spot for a second, because this is what you do, and you're so good at it. So I want to go back to something we touched on before we started recording, because I basically said I ended up getting the weenie syndrome and wouldn't write or talk about Rona financially for a long time when it happened, because I wanted to express and give people hope, but I didn't really know how to do it kind of the right way, or in a way that would be helpful. Because in my head, even though it wasn't my heart, in my head, the things I kept hearing were maybe people's own voices of, dang it, if only I would have, or I didn't know, or I was trying, or I was in the process. And I didn't want to put any woulda, coulda, shouldas on people and add to any shame that they might be feeling, because this virus and the subsequent shutdowns were and are, they've been devastating to our economy. Devastating. I mean, there would be days, because I grew up, my dad, when I was growing up, did manual labor. He has a graduate degree now with a job where he has to wear a tie, but that didn't happen until I was in college. And my mom was a small business owner and waited tables in between. And I am picturing my upbringing going, if all of these restaurants are shut down, there are moms who cannot go to work. If all of these businesses are shut down, there are families who don't need the services like my dad used to offer as a self-employed small business owner. Our personal family was fine and has been fine so far. Even with the oil and gas issues being what they are, thankfully we've not been affected, but we've had lots of friends who have been. And so I just kind of hid. I'm just going to be real frank. I mean, I just kind of hid because I just didn't know what to say, to give people hope and encouragement. And so as a coach, what did you say? Or what are you saying now? Or what will you say? Because you'll get calls from people next week who this is their current situation. They're not working, but they don't have 15 months in the bank.
Right. I think the most important thing to remember is, like, you really kind of have to keep everything in its perspective and understand that, like, this is all unprecedented. Right. We've not seen anything like this, at least in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like this. And so with that being said, like, coming to the awareness that it's okay to not be okay right now. Hmm. Right. Like, it's okay if you're not okay right now. Right. Like, this is not the end of the story. Like, this is a part of the story, and it's a very difficult and trying time in the story, but this is not the end of the story, right? And so it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not have the answers. It's okay to question the decisions that you've made in the past. Like, all of that is a perfectly normal part of living through this time, right? And so coming to terms with that and just being okay with not being okay and not knowing and not understanding, I really believe is one of the first steps that you really kind of have to take, you know?
That's so good. That's so good, because you're right. I mean, what I hear when you say that is give yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear when you say that. And I think
I have projected onto a lot of people probably what I would feel. Mm-hmm. And I would say I only would feel that way because I'm not new to this scene. We were not nearly as fast in paying off our debt as you and Taylor were, which means I've been working through this a lot longer than you have. And I'm older than you, so I have more history in this space and more, you know, more time spent in this space. And I was feeling like, I don't know what to say, but I think that's the right answer, is it's okay not to be okay right now. I mean, people listening, it's okay not to be okay right now. And have grace for yourself, because this is unprecedented in our time, in our life. It's unprecedented. Yes, there have been other pandemics. Yes, there have been other things, but when we're experiencing it, we're in our, you know, 30s or 40s or 50s or 20s. We haven't ever seen anything like this. And when you're working through some of these processes, you and I know it takes a minute. Mm-hmm. It takes a minute to get there.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. The world stopped.
Yeah.
Like, not just your life, not just your city, your state, your country, the entire world stopped for months. That, like, there's no manual for dealing with that right now.
Right.
Other than the Bible, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there's no like practical, this is how you handle a global pandemic when the world shuts down. Like, nobody's written that book.
Nobody has written. Some people are going to.
I just made somebody a millionaire.
So. Exactly.
Edit that out.
Put that out. Yep. Write book proposal for it. No, I mean, but seriously, it's like, no, yeah. I mean, there's no book for that. There's no book for that right now. So have grace for yourself. So you're like officially laid off for a month now at the time that we've done this recording, and you're in a really good spot, which I love. But talk now as a coach. Somebody got laid off 2 weeks ago, last month, today. They're listening to this because their manager called them and said, step on a conference call. And they decide, I got to go for a walk. And they don't have 15 months. Man, maybe they're still in debt. Can you coach that person for a second?
Yeah, you know what? And let me just say, having 15 months of experience, I mean, having 15 months of expenses, like, doesn't make me a robot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I still feel.
Oh, 100%.
I was still angry. I was hurt. I was upset. I was scared because, again, my wife has an autoimmune disorder and now we don't have health insurance. We have 2 weeks to figure out our health insurance during a pandemic. Like, she's high risk. So I've felt all the human emotions that you're feeling, right? That hasn't been my experience. Like, to just say that we're just completely bulletproof and we've completely shielded off from this. That's not been my experience.
Thank you, by the way, for saying that. Thank you.
No problem. But I think financially, you know, one of the positives of what's happening right now is, you know, you've seen legislation that's been passed to really kind of help people. You have the enhanced unemployment benefits. I mean, I don't know how long that's going to last from here on out, but we've seen that the extra $600 a week, that's really helped a lot of people. You know, we've seen another thing to note is that if you've lost a job, this is a qualifying life event. So you're eligible. You have plenty of options in terms of healthcare. You can get on a spouse's plan. If you've lost a significant portion of your household income, you may be eligible for Medicaid. So there are all these options that are available to you right now that could help you weather the storm. And I'd be happy to help anybody that needs help to just kind of navigate different sectors of this, right? Because this doesn't just impact our finances. It impacts our healthcare. It impacts retirement. It impacts just so many other things. I mean, what do you do with your old 401k? Just all these different decisions that you're having to make. And it feels like everything's coming so fast, right? You know, when I mean, I got laid off in the middle of the month. And in order for us to have healthcare for the month of June, I had to be signed up by June 1st.
Wow.
So I've got 2 weeks to navigate all these different options and weigh everything out and make sure my wife can see her specialist and her labs and the 8 prescriptions that she takes a day. And it's a lot. It is a lot. So yes, give yourself grace, but reach out to professionals. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody, you know, whatever you're struggling with, there are certified experts that can help you navigate the things that you're concerned about. And so don't be too prideful to ask for help.
Yes.
You know, and so those are really the things that I would say to somebody that's just trying to navigate this uncertain time.
Oh my goodness. No, that's so good. And I told Michael this earlier. I mean, like I said, we've kind of professionally known each other and followed each other's spaces for a few years now. And I'm like, if it means anything to anybody out there, like I would call Michael. I'm like, for the most part, we kind of do, you know, the whole coaching things ourselves, but we have seen a coach in the past, you know, it's about, before either one of us got into this space, but sometimes even the experts need, or the professionals, maybe, I don't know if I call myself an expert, but the professionals need a third, this is what I say sometimes my married clients, especially, you need a third set of eyes. Or if you're single, sometimes you need a second set of eyes. And so for what it's worth, I would call Michael to be my third set of eyes to look through this and walk through it with you. And especially someone like Michael who has recently experienced all of those emotions that you might be experiencing if you find yourself laid off and in this situation due to the COVID, due to Rona, because it makes a difference, because that empathy makes a difference in that professional relationship. Somebody who you can trust, but who also knows what you're going through and won't try and guide you through it as if you're a robot. Right. Or I just got to take this step and that step and do this and do that. I mean, that's not always helpful. That's not real life. So anyway, oh my goodness. Thank you so much. I'm like, I feel like this has just been so good and so refreshing for me. And we're talking about a layoff. how is that like? How is that like a good, refreshing conversation? No, I mean, but
it's always nice when we're reminded of our humanity.
Yes.
You know, it's always nice to just genuinely connect with people. It's always helpful.
Yeah, it is. So as we wrap up, where can people genuinely connect with you? And I'll put all of the links in the notes for this.
Yeah. So as we've talked about, my name is Michael Lacey. I am the founder of Winning to Wealth. So you can connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter under Winning to Wealth. Also, my blog is winningtowealth.com. And there I am the host of the Winning to Wealth podcast. So if you just pop in Winning to Wealth on Google, you will find all of these different ways that you can connect with me as well.
Nice. Nice. And I'll put all of those in there too. Hopefully all of my links will work and we'll just put Winning to Wealth everywhere out there, because Michael's the real deal. I know you've heard that during this conversation, but Michael's a real deal. And I mean, follow him on Instagram. It's worth the family pics, I think. It's worth the pics of Allison to follow you on Instagram.
She makes us look better for sure.
Entirely mean that, but I don't know. Can you scroll all the way to the bottom and see some of your old memes too?
Yeah, they're there. They're there.
Anyway, that gave me some entertainment too. But anyway, so really, Michael, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your story and for giving us hope in the midst of all of this. It's been so amazing.
Alexis, hey, thank you so much for sharing your platform and giving me this opportunity to come on and share and hopefully inspire somebody else to attain whatever it is that their goals are as well.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. All right. We'll talk soon. So thank you again so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Share the link with your friends. You can visit us at thatmakestotalsense.com. And until next time, this is Alexis Busetti, remembering to do well for ourselves so we can do good for others. Bye.